Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Hello, and welcome to the 5 Yard Pod, 5 Yard IDP Pod with me, Nate Davis. Today we'll be reviewing week 6 and getting you ready for week 7. We've got a big announcement. We've got an exclusive 5 Yard Rush contest starting on Fan Team on Sunday. So you're obviously, this is going out on Wednesday night. So on Thursday night, if you tune into our DFS show, all the information will be given to you on there. It's free to enter. There's cash prizes to be won. No deposit required. So tune into the DFS show tomorrow night for the password. That's Thursday night DFS show. Evening, Bren. How's it going, mate? You all right?
Getting there.
Yeah. tough day. Tough couple of days. Monday and Tuesday have been hard work.
Lot of fun, but...
I'm glad it's over.
Lot to drink. Two late nights on the bounce. This 42-year-old body's just about getting back to normal. Lots of fruit and Barocca today.
Lovely. Absolutely lovely.
Right.
Okie dokie. Right. Let's go. I'm going to go straight into our, as you know, our Manscaped are our sponsors, and they are the market leader in men's below-the-waist grooming. They have just released the Lawnmower 4.0, which is a fantastic bit of kit. One of the best things about it is the skin-safe technology, so you get no nicks on your bits, and you can receive 20% off with the code 5YARD at manscaped.com. It really is a game changer in that area, and you're missing out if you don't have one. As I said, it's 20% off with the code 5YARD at manscaped.com. There's also free worldwide shipping, so sort yourself out and get involved. Right then, let's get on to this football straight away. Right, I'm kicking it off with a Thursday night's football, which, as this is going out Wednesday, will be tomorrow night. So look, let's go. Broncos at the Browns. The Browns took a bit of a hammering in week 6. And now we're hearing they're going to be missing Chubb and Hunt. I think it's actually been confirmed now. Baker's also carrying an injury, shoulder injury. They're saying that he's going to go. That might be different come Thursday. So you're going to need to check the status. With that in mind, it's probably a good time for the Broncos to play them, and it could be a decent idea to target the Broncos secondary and D-line for that big play. Baker got sacked 5 times against the Cardinals. He threw an interception as well. He's been sacked 18 times on the season. So, you know, my call would be get Von Miller in if you can. Get him in. Von's had 4.5 sacks so far in the season, and I really like the matchup for him. Kareem Jackson at safety, he continues to put up good numbers, and he leads the team in tackles. So it's a good pickup this week. Pat Surtain, Justin Simmons, they're also consistently scoring. So they're fine to pick up. For the Browns, Anthony Walker is back, the linebacker. He's healthy. And he posted great numbers in week 6. So 19 points in IDP plus. With Jock, the rookie, he's sidelined now. I expect Anthony Walker was always going to be the lead linebacker. But now with Jock out, I think he's nailed on 100% of the snaps pretty much. And I expect him to dominate and put up decent tackle floor numbers week in, week out. Teddy Bridgewater, he got sacked 5 times last weekend, and he was picked off 3 times. So this is... It's looking potentially good for the Browns. The only thing I would say about the Browns is they've only had 2 interceptions so far this season. So you haven't really got like a ball hawk in their secondary that's actually on fire at this moment in time. For me, it's a good matchup for the edge rushers on this, with the quarterbacks being sacked the amount of times that they have been, and just generally being a bit banged up team-wise as well. Especially from the Browns side of things, I think they're going to struggle this week. And for me, because of that, I'm picking Broncos as the team that are going to win it. And the players, like I said, that Von Miller, Kareem Jackson, and Anthony Walker, the standout players for me in this one. Broncos win. You've got to win it, Bren, this one.
Yeah, I think I'd echo that. Yeah, let's go with the Broncos on that one. Brown's cool. Just a little too banged up.
Okay,
moving swiftly on. Chiefs at the Titans. We've got to talk about the Titans, I suppose. Didn't see that one coming, to be honest. I don't think anyone did. 34-31 win at home to the Bills. Put some 4-2, top of the AFC South. As I say, you know, I think it just sums up what it's been a little bit bonkers this season. Just really hard to call some of these games. Everyone, with one or two exceptions, maybe the Lions and probably Miami. Anyone seems to be able to beat anyone at the moment. So, so it was top performance on IDP. The Bills' defense were a bit disappointing, actually. I mean, they let Henry run for 156 yards, three TDs. Tannehill got 216 yards. But anyway, moving on to the Titans. Howard Landry, he's a must-start at LB. He's one of those players we seem to touch on most weeks. Racked up 26.5 points. Had a good day at the office. A couple of sacks, QB hits, tackle for a loss. That's the third week in a row that Landry's been around that 30-point mark. He's actually gone over it in one of the last 3 weeks. So, elsewhere, Jeffrey Simmons in the DL had a decent game with 17.5 points. He picked up a sack as well. Quick one on waiver watch if you are sniffing around for any players during these periods where we got sort of bye weeks, as we've touched on. David Long at linebacker picked up 18.5 points, all tackles, so he had a busy day. And young Amari Hooker at DB. Again, you know, he's out there on the waivers, picked up 15 points, including a forced fumble. So, you know, in a close, important win for the Titans, that defense seemed to put it together in all three phases. They had good performances in the DL, you know, further back at linebacker and in the secondary as well, including a crucial late stop by Simmons on Josh Allen, which seemed to effectively sort of ice the game and nicked them the win. The Chiefs, in week six, I expected them to bounce back from that Bills defeat, and they did. Fairly comfortable 31-13 win over Washington. The defense didn't have to do a lot. They didn't have to work especially hard to limit Taylor Heinicke and that Washington offense. So there's not a huge amount to focus on based on that week six performance. Nick Bolton, again, is someone we've consistently mentioned at linebacker. Had a steady 16.5 points, again, all in tackles, kind of par for the course with Bolton this season, so he's got to be started. Rashad Fenton in the secondary picked up exactly the same, 16.5. Outside of that, there wasn't really anyone that sort of stood out in week six. It's looking like the Chiefs should have Chris Jones back for this game as well, and they'll need to beef up that D-line. They'll want to put some pressure on Tannehill because, okay, the Titans have had a win. They play well on offense. The Bills are a bit below par on defense. I expect the Chiefs to try and put, you know, a bit more pressure on the O-line, which has been poor. He has taken a lot of sacks this season. And also, they're going to have to try and stop Henry because he had a bit of a field day and he seems to be sort of really rolling. But I've got a sneaky fit. The Chiefs are still not right. I know they won, but Mahomes still, you know, he threw that pick, which some of the pundits were saying was one of the worst throws they've ever seen him make. Tannehill, on the other hand, showed, you know, good variation. So the Chiefs DB, you know, I think Tannehill went after, you know, seven targets consistently in the win. So I think as far as the Chiefs goes, I'd stick to the likes of Nick Bolton. There's no one really on the waivers. There is some value on the waivers for the Titans, as I've already touched on with Hooker and Long. Everything normally would suggest the Chiefs, but the Titans' defense looked good against the Bills. Did a good job, as I said, in all areas. The Bills had a bit of a below par performance. I'm going to stick my neck out and say the Titans win this one. The Chiefs just don't seem... I know we've mentioned it before, they just don't seem right. There's something not clicking there for me. And yes, they won, but it's a Washington team. They're one of those teams that I've highlighted. They're just not going to put enough points up. So I've been wrong on, as a lot of people have, with predictions this season. But yeah, I'm just going to take a punt on the Titans.
I think I'm with you on this as well. I just like you, they just don't seem right. I think there's a lot of moaning going on as well. I noticed that again last night, and it's just, yeah, I just don't think it's quite right. Something's not quite clicking. I don't think Mahomes is particularly happy at the moment with what's going on necessarily around him, and he's trying too hard, maybe. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be quite right. And for me, for the Titans, with wide receivers coming back, that seems to make a massive difference to Tannehill, just generally. He just seems more comfortable when AJ Brown's around and people that he knows he can get rid of the ball quickly to, rather than just hold on to it and just get whacked, which he was doing for the first few weeks. So, yeah, cool. Titans, interesting. Interesting. Didn't think we'd be saying that, but there we go.
Everyone will be running to the bookies to put a tenner on the Chiefs now.
Yeah, whack him on the Chiefs. That's what I would. Right, okay. Washington football team at the Packers. Let's start with Washington. So, my man, Cole Holcomb, he's smashing it at the moment. He had a monster week in week 6. 10 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble. Cole Holcomb is somebody that should be started constantly at the moment. His tackle count is great. However, the team, they were blown out by the Chiefs. They're struggling to get going. I don't quite know what it is. I quite liked Washington originally, and now I'm quickly backing away from them. Heinicke doesn't look quite right, and the whole, their kind of identity is not clear. What are they doing? Running the ball, passing the ball, this mixture of nothing. I don't like them offensively at this moment, and defensively, not really clicking. However, secondary wise, Kendall Fuller got a pick against his old team, and so did Bobby McCain in what was a good week 6, really, for the Washington secondary points wise. However, I don't like this matchup against the Packers. Aaron Rodgers has only been picked off 3 times this season, and not yet at Lambeau. So I'm not looking at the Washington secondary at all, and I'm not interested much in the D-line neither. Apart from the linebackers who are scoring consistently, I wouldn't go all out in pick up any of the Washington players if you don't have to. Over to the Packers. Kenny Clark, he got a couple of sacks against the Bears, and I like the matchup against Taylor Heinicke. Like I said, he's not looking great currently. Also, Dean Lowry, another DL, he's also in play. He's had 2 decent weeks, and he's got a decent tackle count. A decent tackle count he had in week 6, and a sack. I'd steer clear of the Green Bay linebackers currently. You've got Jalen Smith coming in. We need to monitor the snap count between him, Devondre Campbell, and Chris Barnes before we start to call that, really. I would leave it alone. In the secondary, Darnell Savage, he got his first pick of the season, so he's off and running. Adrian Amos actually had a low week tackle-wise in week 6, but he's got 41 tackles on the season. So, yeah, he's one of those players that you can do a lot worse not having him. So I think that the Green Bay pass rush is the big play. And, yeah, I see the Packers winning it. I see them going 6-1 on this. And I think, yeah, that's where I'm going. How about you, Bram?
Yeah, I'll keep this short. Green Bay at Lambeau.
Yeah, signed.
Yeah, so no need to overcomplicate that one.
No. Poor old Washington.
Right. I think they're drifting away in that East Division. So Bengals going to the Ravens. So the Bengals coming into this game off the back of what was a fairly easy one of the easier road wins of the season, 31-11 at Detroit Lions. One of the defensive highlights for me was the way this Bengals secondary, having watched a bit of it again, great coverage. The Lions just couldn't get the pass game going. Made it very difficult for them. Both at corner and safety, you've got Anunzi at corner, Jesse Bates at safety. Both played very well. Like I said, they were, the coverage was excellent. Sadly, it didn't equate to much in fantasy, but I'd say they'd possibly be in play this week against the Ravens, but the Ravens ran the ball well in their game, so not 100% sure about that one. Logan Wilson at linebacker continues to have a great season, the 25.5 points, including a pick. Excuse me. And, he's a must start. That's an easy one. Trey Hendrickson's another one. I think you'd have to be looking at a DL. 14 points, including a sack. He's having a consistent season. Von Bell, someone we've mentioned before. Not a stellar game. But so, again, I wasn't too hot on this Bengals defense coming into the season. Wasn't entirely sure how it would pan out for him. But again, they're one of those teams when you look at, Wilson, Hendrickson, Von Bell. Again, you've got one of those teams where there are value players in, each of those sort of three phases. There's not a lot of hidden. I'm sort of stumbled across too much in the way of hidden sort of waiver wire action for the Bengals. So the three obvious ones are mentioned. If you've got them, then I think you've got to be starting them. On the other side of it, there is some waiver wire value on the Ravens as they cruise to what was a surprisingly easy win against the Chargers. I don't think, again, a bit like the Titans game, I don't think anyone sort of, some people might have tipped the Ravens to win, but not 34-6. Deshaun Elliott at DB, 27.5 points, including a pick. I was reading a stat earlier. What I didn't realise just watching the highlights earlier, they got pressure on Herbert 33 times. He was pressured in one game. That's just out of, I think, 42 attempted passes. That's just a frightening statistic for this Ravens team. And I think Elliott, could be a busy boy again this week against Burrows. I think they'll want to go again, another young quarterback, and see if they can hurry him up. Another on the waivers in the secondary, you got corner Anthony Averett, 11.5 points. So if you're looking a bit short there, Calais Campbell, again, I know he's someone we mentioned. I know no one's going to take him in the long term because, as I've said before, he's 35. But he picked up another 13 points again. He's been trending up slowly, nothing monumental, but his numbers have been, in the teens and decent last few weeks, and he's on the waivers. Justin Houston, LB, had another 12.5 points, including a sack. It was an impressive performance by that Ravens defense. And I'm going with the Ravens to win this. And I think the Ravens, as I've highlighted, if you are a bit short in a couple of positions, I think there's, as opposed to the Bengals, where I think there are two or three, definite sort of nailed on players, but you're not really going to pick them up on a freebie. But as I've said, if you've got the likes of Logan Wilson and Hendrickson, then you've got to be starting them, I think. But yeah, could be a good game. This could be a lot of fun. I think the Ravens win and who they beat and how they beat them was far more impressive than the Bengals sort of going to Detroit and winning that. A lot of teams are going to do that this season. I'll stick with the Ravens for this one.
Yeah, I got the same, and I wrote the same note. I've put Ravens for me, but I think it'd be a good game. It'd just be quite an exciting one, hopefully. So, right, where am I? Panthers at Giants. Unfortunately for our friend Daniel Jones, poor old Daniel Jones. It seems like every week we're ripping into him, but it's just where it is, just where the numbers are. We're proven right again. In week 6, he took 4 sacks and had 3 interceptions. Yeah, and it's like you look at it and you think to yourself, well, will the same happen again against the Panthers? And the problem is, you look at Haason Reddick and Brian Burns, and both are bringing pressure on quarterbacks week in, week out. Reddick has 6.5 sacks in the season and Burns has 3, so it's probable that they will get to Daniel Jones in this one. The Panthers secondary is pretty banged up, as everybody knows. But Jeremy Chin posted his best numbers this season in week 6. He had 9 tackles and a pass defended. But the guy who really took the plaudits was DB Keith Taylor. He had 10 solo tackles and a forced fumble. And he's somebody to keep an eye on moving forward. Over to the Giants. The Giants, actually, it was an actual decent defensive performance for them, scoring-wise. Leonard Williams got 1.5 sacks and Xavier McKinney getting two interceptions. Ty Crowder was my tackle floor pick last week. He didn't disappoint at all. He got 10 tackles and one tackle for a loss. So for me, he's still one of these players that is a must add. And like we said, he's the guy that sort of stepped up to the mark since Blake Martinez is gone. And obviously Blake Martinez would not be on anybody's waiver wire. So you should be, if he is still there, Ty Crowder, you've got to put him in for me. As for the matchup, Darnold has been sacked three or more times in the last 4 weeks. So we probably should be talking about him as much. So this is a good matchup for Leonard Williams and the Giants. He's my man. Leonard Williams is my man's highlight for the Giants this week. And I fancy him to get to Darnold. So for the result, I'm going Panthers in this one. But I actually think this one would be a good game as well. I really do. I think the Panthers have kind of, the Giants have kind of already got nothing to lose, and I think they're gonna be one of these teams that are gonna get into that frame of mind quite quickly. They've got so many people out and so many big players out that I think they will try whatever it takes to just get anything out of the game. So I think it'll be a good one, but I do think the Panthers will edge it.
Yeah. I say just largely down to, despite the fact they're at home, just having so many players out. So I think the wheels have come off a bit for Carolina. But I still think they should have enough on both sides of the ball to wedge it out against the Giants.
I think they kind of both come off for both teams, but I think Panthers
both
have got
need
the chance.
A win, but
Panthers have got the chance to put them back on. The Giants, they've rolled off. They've rolled off down the cliff. You ain't getting them back.
Yeah, they're missing a couple of them. So, yeah, Panthers for me as well. Right. Falcons at the Dolphins. So, the Falcons coming off a bye week. And I think they've had a bit of a break. I think they'll fancy this matchup at Miami. I do. Going up against a team that for me seems not totally devoid of confidence, but a bit lacking in ideas on offense, just lacking that sharpness. And so, fantasy-wise, defensively for Atlanta, I'm not going to do anything radical with this. I think they're still a team that's far better on offense than they are on defense. I think you've still got to look really in and around that linebacker position for value. And the problem, you're not going to pick them up without a transfer. On the waiver watch, one for this game might be, and I have found him on a couple of waivers, Dante Fowler at linebacker. You can slot in at DL, which is he had a poor game in London, but he had scored well in that sort of week two, week three, week four period. And again, I think, you know, Miami would be one of those fixtures where if you're looking to slot someone in that position, he could have some points tallied, you know, points total closer to those sort of, you know, that sort of week two, week three period. I wouldn't be looking at anything in the secondary, because despite the loss on Sunday, one thing that did quite impress me was Mike Gesicki was pretty dominant over the middle, holding some good passes. So I think Miami are probably hoping to have a couple of the wideouts back. Devontae Parker, and I think Preston Williams, if he comes back, will be an added bonus. So that's not too much for me on the Falcons defense. The Dolphins, well, we were there Sunday's game and they desperately needed a win. And at various stages looked like they really should have had it, but they needed it to kickstart the season. They didn't manage it. Looking at the defensive side of it, there were a few highlights. Emmanuel Ogba had one of his better games, picked up 17 points, including an important sack. Was probably the pick of the bunch. I know we were missing Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, which did hurt us actually in the secondary. The rest of it was just okay for me, certainly from a fantasy perspective. Jerome Baker, Van Ginkle, Christian Wilkins all hit double figures. They're all around sort of the 11-point mark. But as I say, for me, it was just okay, which in a game that we really needed to win wasn't good enough. They didn't show me enough to say that, that anything's going to change terribly quickly. I know I did, I mean, post-game, you know, when we were talking about it at the bar afterwards, I did have a bit of a rant about the coaching and all the rest of it. It was a frustrating day. But I can't really make a case for anyone outside the usual suspects from an IDP perspective. Unfortunately, I can see a Falcons win in this game, even at Miami. I just think at the moment they're the better team on offense. I think if you look at, on paper, Miami should be the better defense. I think they are the better defense, but they just don't seem to be putting it together. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami sort of, you know, scraped out a win, but I just think, you know, the Falcons look good in London, okay, against a poor Jets team, but I think I'm struggling to find much in the way of sort of fancy value on the defensive side of it. So I'm going to leave it at that. I think Miami got some issues. I think the Falcons will probably just pick this one.
I'm with you on that. I think the Falcons will. I think that they've got, with Ridley coming back as well, they have got just a few more weapons. And with Matt Ryan, what, you know, if he watched that tape back, he'll be smiling to himself. It was quite easy over the middle a few times for Lawrence. But like you said, there might be people back. And if there is, that might change that secondary. But it certainly gave up too many easy yards, I felt, for on the weekend. Right, so what am I on to? Jets at Pats. Okay, so Juwan Bentley, linebacker, he top scored for the Pats in week 6. And if he was fit, he would be my tackle floor add. I really like Juwan Bentley, but the only issue is at the moment he's got so say another injury. It's a rib injury this time, but he has missed time already this season. And because of that, I feel we should just monitor the situation on him and not add him. However, he's one of these people, when he's on the pitch, he does rack up the numbers. However, one person that I am going to highlight this week is safety, Kyle Duggar. We mentioned him last week and we mentioned him in week 4. He is consistently scoring well. He had 8 solo tackles, a pass defended, and then he had the big play interception in week 6, which gave him 21 points in IDP plus. In week 6, they're up at, in week 7, they're up against Zach Wilson, who they sacked 4 times when they met in week 2. I love the Matt Judon, Kyle Duggar stack. I've said it before, and this is what I'm going for it in 2 of my leagues this week. I mean, it's a bit of a gamble of whether it's actually them that, you know, the ball falls to, but I guarantee you that from Judon's side of things, Judon will be bringing the pressure. He is seriously banging form, and against Zach Wilson in the Jets, he should be licking his lips. Okay, so if Duggar isn't available as well on waiver wires, maybe JC Jackson is. He's a DB15 on the year so far. He's putting decent, consistent numbers up. So he could be a decent add. Looking at the Jets, D, in 6 games, they've not had an interception yet, which that makes it difficult to even call the secondary, any of their secondary, like for that big play role. I mean, the tackle floor is not bad. Really, for me, the tackle count of CJ Mosley and Quincy Williams, that's decent. Sack-wise, Quinn and Williams has 3.5 and John Franklin has 3. They lead the sack count for the Jets. Currently, for me, bar CJ Mosley, I don't think there isn't a real consistent high scorer. And this matchup isn't great for me. And Mac Jones is playing quite well. He's playing certainly better than he was in week 2. I don't feel like he'll get sacked. He got sacked 3 times the first time they met. I don't think he will get sacked 3 times this time. So I'm not really fancying the Jets in this one. I see a New England win. And I got a feeling that they will get to Zach Wilson. I got a feeling there should be some big points in this. So, like I said, Matt Judon and Kyle Duggar is my play on this one. And New England win.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, Judon and Duggar cause a few problems. And they've got the by far and away the better rookie QB. So, and they're at home. So, Patriots win.
Cool.
Okay. Eagles at the Raiders. So start with the Raiders, actually, because we said last week that following everything that had happened, this game could sort of go, I couldn't really call it, to be honest. So it was a big win for them. I felt huge week six win, 34-24. And it was more comprehensive than that score suggests. They made a real statement of solidarity following all the John Duke Gruden controversy. Okay, there was a lot of talk about Derek Carr, and yes, he shredded the Broncos for 341 yards. But you've got to talk about that defensive performance, because there were standout performances all over that field at the weekend. And it's a defense that we've kind of struggled with outside of one or two performances so far this season. Arguably the defensive performance of the week throughout the league really could have been, you could make a very good case for Max Crosby. He had a monster day with 34 points, 3 sacks, 5 QB hits. He caused no end of problems. Jonathan Abram in the secondary went for 21.5 points, including a pit. Corey Littleton had another good game at linebacker, 21 points. Denzel Perryman went for 17 points, including a fumble recovery. Trevor Moehrig, again in the secondary, went for 16 points. So the only surprise really was Yannick Ngakoue had quite a day. But outside of that, barring a good week five against the Bears, Ngakoue's been he's been a bit of a disappointment in this sort of Raiders D. But outside of that, again, the only slight problem with the Raiders is you look at those sort of 4 or 5 players I mentioned who had really good days at the office. You probably will find most of them are already on rosters somewhere. So if you've got them, I think they'll hopefully kick on again this season. This week. The Eagles lost a Thursday night game home to the Bucks, but I thought they played well in latter parts of the game, made a good game of it, just left themselves a little bit too much to do. In the final phases. Top perform, and again, some stupid penalties, but I seem to mention that with the Eagles every week. They've got to cut that shit out. Alex Singleton, someone we've talked about and someone I've always been quite keen on at linebacker, had a really good day, 22 points. He's been consistently scoring well this season, so he's a nailed-on starter if you've got him on your roster. Anthony Harris, if you want to look at someone on the waiver watch, had a good day, 15.5 points in the secondary. I'm just a bit twitchy about picking anyone in the Eagles secondary. I think they'll be busy. I mean, if Ruggs and Waller play anything like they did on Sunday, it could go one or two ways. They could absolutely rip it up and Harris won't get anywhere near them, or maybe he gets involved. And so Carr will air it out. Even though Jacobs is sort of coming back into the mix with the ground game. Javon Hargrave moving up to the front at the defensive line. He's had a bit of a blip, one bad game, 5.5 points. But as a whole, he's over 100 points for this season. So I think you with players like that, you take, all right, you're allowed a bit of a pass in the Bucks game. As I said, he's already gone over 10 this season, so he'd still be one I'd play. But making a case for the Eagles, I'd say outside of Singleton and Hargrave, yes, possibly Anthony Harris if you're a bit short in the secondary. Summing the game up, it's not one of those games where you're going to really find any hidden value in it. If you are looking to pick someone up on sort of the wire. For me, the Raiders just like they're playing angry. On both sides of the ball, they really went after to the Broncos all over the place. I've got a feeling Philly might cop it this weekend as well. So I'm going for the Raiders this week.
Yeah, I got Raiders, and mainly because I'm after that performance and a couple of other ones. I think Max Crosby's been excellent this season. But yeah, I find myself rooting for him because they're really, like you said, I think there's a togetherness there, especially in that D. They certainly came together and yeah, they looked good. Where am I? Lions at Rams. Okay. So as I mentioned earlier, like we called it last week when we said the Rams would get to Daniel Jones and they did. So I'm going to not do a victory lap over that, but we did say...
It's not the boldest prediction we've
ever made. But we did say, and I said straight away, I fancied Taylor Rapp. Really did. I just thought...
That's a good call.
Yeah, he ended up with 2 interceptions, 3 passes defended. It gave him 26.5 points in IDP plus. And we mentioned Donald. I mentioned Donald was going to be the top point scorer. Well, he wasn't the top point scorer. He was nowhere to be seen, really. Not when you got people like Max Crosby and TJ Watt, who had absolute monster weeks. But Leonard Floyd did have a bit of a week. And if you stacked him with Taylor Rapp, you probably won your week outright. Yeah, so I mean, and Leonard Floyd again is a player that I would definitely be looking at in this one. So looking at the Rams side of things as well, is this is quite incredible when you look at teams, players to pick and players not to pick. You can say that you pick, say, bad teams, you know, don't amount to good scorers. That's not always the case. But in the Lions, that is definitely the case because, put it this way, I'll just tell you now. So Jordan, this is the secondary of the Rams. Jordan Fuller has 47 tackles so far this season. Taylor Rapp has 41, okay? The leading tackler at the Detroit Lions is Alex Alzanoni, or whatever his name is, however you pronounce that. He's the top tackler with 30 tackles. 30 tackles this week. I mean, that's poor. That, you know, there's 5 players in the Rams team that are above him, which is, you know, it just tells you don't bother with him. Also, I mean, so when we're talking about the matchup for Leonard Floyd, Goff has been sacked 15 times this season. Let's compare him to Stafford. Stafford's been only sacked 6 times. So straight away, you've got to be pointing towards the Rams just to get a sack or not. And forget the pass rush from the Lions in this one. They might get to him, but it's just the stats are not there. Yeah, so that sort of like sums it up for me. You're going to have to be playing the same players that we mentioned last week, pretty much. So Leonard Floyd is a must start for me. And I would pair him up with a Jordan Fuller, a Taylor Rapp, if you can. If you can't, then yeah, there's plenty of other players out there. But yeah, so that's it. I've got nothing to say about that. I've got nothing to say about the Lions defense at all. It's not worth talking about. As for the game, it's the Rams for me in an absolute blowout, and it's just a case of how many points they're gonna get. So yeah, that's it. What's your
Well, it is nice coming off the back of a disappointing trip to Tottenham to be able to know we can still talk about one or two teams that are a bit worse than the Dolphins, and the Lions definitely fall into that category. Yeah, Rams all day. I think you've covered that off very succinctly. Okay, Bears at the Bucks. I touched on this last week. The Bears going into a big sort of NFC North matchup against the Packers, which they lost, and they find themselves at this stage in the season at a horrible sort of 3-3 position where, yeah, it's kind of hanging in the balance now a bit, and you know, they could probably do without a trip to Tampa off the back of it. Top performers against the Packers. Okay, well, you know, Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack picked up their sort of minimum standard 15 points each. That's par for the course. I think we've made it pretty clear in recent weeks that these two aren't too bad, so they're probably worth starting. looking at their numbers. But and I've desperately been trying to find something else in this Bears defense all season to highlight instead of those two. I'm still struggling a bit. Akeem Hicks in the D-line, he went into double figures, 11.5 points. Did pick up a sack, to be fair. Eddie Jackson in the secondary picked up 11. But would I be sniffing around for those two? You know, and they are on the waivers, unsurprisingly. Short answer, no. No, not really. Not against the Bucks, and not even if it wasn't against the Bucks. A couple of, you know, a couple of double points performances. They haven't shown anything else this season to really say that they'd be worth a punt. So I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but the Bears are still a two-man defensive performance from an IDP perspective. as far as the Bucks go, in slight contrast to Chicago, I think the Bucks would settle for a bit of consistency, to be honest, on the defense, given all the chopping and changing due to injury. And as it stands at the moment, they're still looking like it might be without Antoine Winfield and Levante David. Shaq Barrett was again the standout performer against Philly with 18.5 points. He's been in double figures every game this season. So if you're not starting him, I'd have to ask why not. I'd expect Devin White to be into double figures as well, as his front seven are desperately going to try and bring some pressure on Fields again. It's that rookie sort of QB scenario that Nathan and I have touched on seemingly every week. Also, Jamal Dean is out there on the waiver wire if you're a bit short in the secondary. Again, the rookie QB comes into play for me. Picked up 18 points last week. Picked up 19 off the back of a 19.5 point game in week five. I am a little bit surprised to see him on a couple of waiver wires, to be honest. Mm. Especially at this stage in the season where you're bound to have, in a sizable roster, you are going to have defensive players out over the next week or two, well, next few weeks with byes. Jamal Dean is the one I've really highlighted on the waiver wires this season, this week rather. Bucks win at home for me. As I say, you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record with the Bears, but they've really only got two sort of IDP relevant players at present. And again, they're another team for me that just don't score enough on offense to give their defense a chance to get their teeth into it. In fact, to be honest, looking at it, I mean, they've only gone over 20 points once this season, and that was against the Lions, which doesn't really say a great deal for them. In fact, having said that, the Dolphins have only gone over 20 points once this season as well. So get over it, Bren. Get over it. Bucks win at home for me. And I think, definitely be having a look at Jamal Dean. He's definitely sort of trending up in the last couple of weeks if you're after someone in that DB position.
Yeah, especially, like you said, especially on the bye weeks. This is... It's a killer of a bye week. I've been going through rosters today, and God, I'm not too bad, but some people I've looked at and I'm like, you're absolutely decimated. It's an absolute killer week seven. Right, so I'm on to Texans at Cards. All right, okay. So from one blowout to another for me. So this is Rams to the Cardinals. Okay. There's more sacks to come here for the Cardinals this week. The only issue that you got with the Cardinals at the moment is working out where they're coming from, because they are splitting it out quite a bit. Week six, Jordan Hicks got two sacks, Marcus Golden got two, and JJ Watt got one, which tells you that the pass rush is coming from all angles, which is great for them. From a fantasy side of things, it makes it very difficult to really pinpoint somebody. I would look at Marcus Golden as an ad, just generally just being in form. And he's also, his tackle floor's all right. So, I mean, even if he doesn't get the sack, he's probably not going to leave him with nothing. What else happened? So DB Robert Alford, he benefited obviously from the pressure, and he managed to get himself a pick in the secondary. But he isn't somebody that I would be looking to add. Looking at what happened to the Texans last week, so the Colts D, they got to Davis Mills on multiple occasions. So I don't. The Cards are not going to have too much trouble. I can't see why they would. And if I was going for somebody in the secondary, like I said, Marcus Golden is an ad up front for me. In the secondary, I fancy Byron Murphy in this one to come out with an interception. Yeah. For the Texans, though, it's a tough matchup for them. However, they're not like the Lions in the fact that they're not a very good side, but they have some players that are IDP relevant. Christian Kirksey, he continues putting up decent tackle numbers at linebacker, and he would be one of these kind of, like I mentioned before, decent floor tackler. Week in, week out, they're pretty much there. And safety, Justin Reed, he's another one. He puts up decent tackles and he's buzzing around all over the place. He's always in the mix for a pick or two. So he's one of those players that often puts in a good haul. A player to look at who I hadn't really picked up on. I sort of noticed him a couple of weeks ago, but I just thought, well, we'll wait and see. But is Jonathan Greenard in DL. He's the sack leader now for the Texans. And he's posted great numbers last week. He sacked Wentz twice, racked up six tackles, and he got two tackles for a loss. So I mean that's good stuff. And he had a good week three and a good week five. So he missed week four. So all in all, he's actually pretty consistent. So he could be a really good ad. If you're not gonna add him this week, at least keep an eye on him, because if he does it again, then you've got to say that he's extremely consistent. But yeah, so it's a Cardinals win, because, well, just, yeah, it'd be crazy if it isn't. But I do fancy decent defensive points from both sides of the ball, really, in this one. I think there's points to be had for both sides. And yeah, like I said, it's difficult picking out that sack leader for the Cards this season. I think it's going to be very difficult. I think it's going to be split across the board. So maybe I would swerve them. But there we go. There we go. Yeah, that's my call on this one. What do you reckon, Bram?
Yeah, I mean, if the Colts can put 31 points up on the Texans, then and you know, then they've got to go up against sort of the form team in the league, then yeah, you can't see it going any other way. But like you say, they're not the worst team in the league, and there's some value there. So cards all day on that one, I think. Okay, well, we just mentioned the Colts, so I'm going to finish with the last game I've got to cover, which is the Colts at the Niners. excuse me. So yeah, comfortable win, 31-3, as we just mentioned, over the Texans. I did say last week that I wanted, or in fact, expected a bit more from DeForest Buckner this week, and to be fair, he delivered. The tackle sort of stepped up and picked up 21 points, including a sack and a couple of tackles for losses. Although he wasn't the standout performer, he was pipped to that by Darius Leonard, the linebacker, who went with for an even better 23 points, including a pick and a forced fumble. He is having a good season. Yeah. He's been consistently good. Very impressed with him. Elsewhere, another linebacker that we've mentioned before, Bobby Okereke, 19.5 points. And then there's the secondary. Again, another player we've mentioned in weeks past, Kenny Moore, had another good week, 17.5 points. Corey Willis had a real day of it, mind, 27.5 points. Just a good all-round defensive performance. There's some quality IDP value at the Colts. Unfortunately, as I mentioned with a couple of teams, the Raiders and one or two others, Bengals, you're not going to find many of them out there unless you wanted to sort of trade up for them. But if you've got them, you know, against this 2-3 Niners as well, who I think, you know, following that week two win at Philadelphia, that seems a long time ago for this San Francisco team. I think they've definitely got some issues there. So moving on to the Niners, they're coming off the back of a bye week. Will the break have done them any good? I don't know. I'm very cautious about this San Francisco side at the moment. I think outside of Warner and Bosa, I'd be waiting to see how they bounce back after the break, frankly. They need to pick up a win after this three-game losing streak. As I say, they look a million miles away you know, from the Cards and the Rams in this NFC West division. They're not being helped by the fact, and this is where the Colts will be licking their lips a bit. Both QBs are banged up at the moment a little bit. So Trey Lance has picked up a bit of a knock on the knee. Jimmy G still, coming back from this calf injury. So they're both, I'm not entirely sure who's going to be, based on what I was reading earlier today, it looks like Lance could be out with this knee injury. So Jimmy Garoppolo should be coming back. So I really think the Colts defense will fancy this road trip. I do. Against, as I say, you know, they've got some banged up QBs. I think they're a team playing, you know, a bit low on confidence. So I'd be, yeah, if you've got any of those Colts IDP players I've mentioned, they've got to be a start. If you've got more than one, as Nate said, with some of the other defenses, then you'd be looking at, you know, trying to stack up a couple maybe, because I think they will be looking to get to the quarterback on this in this game. And I haven't been too hot on this Colts team as a whole at the start of the season, but I think as much as the offense looked decent, the defense, a bit like, you know, we mentioned with the Raiders, I fancy a second road win of the season for the Colts in this one. And the Niners, I'd be steering clear of at the moment. I think they've go a long way to, you know, to prove that they can bounce back after that sort of good start to the season. So,
I'm with you. I fancy the Colts on it. I think offensively as well. Obviously, you've covered all the defense off the offensively. I think it's nice to see Wentz looking decent, throwing the ball well. T.Y. Hilton's back. Taylor ran the ball really well. Yeah, if it starts clicking, they can be a side. That's what everybody thought before the season. It's kind of nice to see. But we'll see if they can continue it. That's the only thing. It's just to see whether they will carry it on, because you know what Wentz can be like. He can be a bit hot and cold. So anyway, Monday Night Football, that's fallen to me this week. So Saints at Seahawks. Oh, poor old Geno Smith. What? I mean, I've watched that game twice since the weekend, and it was a cracking game. I felt they played quite well. I was quite happy with their performance, the Seahawks, but it just, you know, the strip sack at the end, the strip sack phone ball caused by TJ Watt. I mean, it ended the game so badly for Geno Smith, but. Is this potentially quite a good bounce back game, I think, for them? I fancy the Seahawks to do it in this game. And like I said, they didn't play badly. And the Saints travelling to the Seahawks. Yeah, the Seahawks D played quite well as well. So, yeah. I'm going Seahawks. Sorry, I was going 50-50. I was actually going to call it. But, yeah, I am going Seahawks. In Jordan Brooks, they've got another tackle machine has now been born, I think, and nailed in. It's a put next to Bobby Wagner. It's crazy. When you're talking about these, we mentioned it earlier when I mentioned about Detroit Lions and how such a shit tackle count that they've got. It's quite incredible. When I'm just going to flip it now to the Seahawks and talk about Brooks is on 59 tackles for the season. Brooks is. Wagner's on 72. So, you know, this is the difference between when people talk about IDP and you really do need to look at these stats. So anyway, there you go. Just thought I'd just let you know that. But Jordan Brooks is a tackle machine and he's really stacking them. We got 14 tackles last week that took him to the 59. Also this week, I'm going to say DJ Reed and Quandre Diggs. I think they're good ads this week. They got good tackle floor numbers. Consistent as well. And against Jameis Winston, they'll be sniffing a pick, definitely. The Saints were on a bye week last week in week six. But Demario Davis, Marshawn Lattimore, they played quite well in week five against Washington. And they're going to be well rested. So I do expect the Saints D to still be, you know, decent and pick up some decent points, but you know, you might err with caution going into this one. So there's two players that I want to look at from the Saints to keep an eye on this game. I'm not going to play them, but the two people that I would like to keep an eye on is the rookie DB, Adebo. He's the third rounder. He put on a good score before the bye week and has had some decent scores. And I'm also interested to see Pete Werner's snap share and tackle count. Is he someone I've got my eye on long term? Yeah. So that sort of covers it. So yeah, DJ Reed, Quandre Diggs in the secondary for Seahawks. Obviously Jordan Brooks at linebacker. Yeah, I see a Seahawks winning this. And I'm hoping for a pick or two from that secondary, as I said. So there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely sort of go along with that. It's, I think...
Did you feel sorry for him as well, the Seahawks? Did you feel sorry for him? I did.
I struggled to feel sorry for Seattle. I've said it before, I find them very frustrating. I've nothing against Seahawks. I just felt
with Geno coming in, and he'd actually done well. Then you had Metcalf, God knows what he was doing. He's got absolutely ripped apart for that fumble.
But yeah, I think it's, and let's be honest, we've not been, as far as secondaries go, we've always had, I think, certainly in the early stage of the season, reservations about Seattle's, you know, sort of DBs. But I think you're right. I mean, we know what Winston's capable of, especially when he's put under pressure, and he will be by these linebackers and this front seven as a whole, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, we've seen Winston. He'll throw the ball if he's, you know, facing the wrong way, sitting down cross-legged. You know, he really does chance it. So just throw it away, man. Just lollipopping it up there sometimes. So yeah, I think the secondary could definitely have a couple in this game.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd go along with that. I'd say Seattle. So
cool.
Yeah,
that's so week seven. That is week seven, Dan. So I'm just gonna quickly go through the picks that I've just put together on there. So my tackle floor pick this week, I'm gonna go Browns linebacker Anthony Walker, back healthy, and he's looking good for consistent tackle. Numbers week on week. My big play ad is Hassan Reddick, who I fancy to give Danny Dimes some more nightmares. And my top tip for the point score in week six is Matt Judon from the Patriots. And like I said, have a look at the Judon Duggar stack. I'm having a punt on it, so you never know, it might work. So what else have I got to cover off? So don't forget the exclusive 5-yard rush contest on Fan Team, which is on Sunday, I think. So you just need to tune into the DFS show tomorrow, which is Thursday night, if you're watching this, or if you're listening to it on the pod. I would think that would be Thursday night, the evening. I can't wait for it. That's it for us. So just thanks for tuning in, guys. And remember, keep rushing.